Howdy, folks, and welcome to the Dead Pit Revival Podcast. I am the Creepy Kentuckian. We wanted to thank you guys for checking out the podcast audio. If you like what you hear on this show, please consider checking us out on Patreon, deadpitonpatreon.com. Thousands of hours of horror talk content. The entire library of the Dead Pit radio shows from 2005 onwards. Fan commentaries. Your occult podcast, all of the midweek / MySpace shows, and more, including a weekly podcast guaranteed every week. It's Patreon's MWO podcast. Tons of stuff on Patreon. So if you like what you hear on this show, consider starting on Patreon with us. The tiers are only $1, and they go all the way up to the baller and shot collar tier. They get you everything, plus you get to request content from the Creepy Kentuckian and Uncle Bill, show topics, whatever you want to do. You know, reviews, show topics, all that good stuff. So, thank you guys once again, and enjoy the show.
Keep it creepy. Dead Pit.
Patreon review show. This has been a long time coming. We've been trying to do this for about 2 weeks.
Yeah. Dude, and I'm just going to be honest. Like, the majority of the problem with me doing reviews is not in the fact of, like, me not wanting to watch the stuff or me not having time to watch the stuff. It's that if there's anything, I'm going to regret saying this immediately, because then the next one's going to be something like, it's all tits all the time. If there's anything that has, like, nudity in it, then I have to wait until all the kids go to bed, which sometimes they never go to bed.
Which sometimes you end up going to bed before them, I'd say.
Yeah, and therein lies the problem. Like,
well, I can
one of them.
Sounds like they're fucking fighting each other in there.
And I think it sounded like one of them ran into the door.
So, yeah, there's one of these movies that there was quite a bit of nudity in it. And I, believe it or not, I watched most of this movie at work, and I was, like, scared to death.
I can't one believe thing I that.
I was not using the company Wi-Fi. I was using my, you know, my data signal.
So yeah.
I didn't wanna, but, yeah, I mean, you know, we'll talk about the movies one by one here in a little bit, but that was borderline softcore porn, you know, that Veronica movie.
Well, I think that's what it was, wasn't it? I mean, like, violence and erotica. Veronica. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure he was just making, like, a softcore. I don't even know what the hell to tell you he was making, honestly. Like, we'll really get into that, because I've watched a lot of films and a lot of horror films and a lot of avant-garde kind of horror films. But I am struggling to tell you exactly what he was going for in that movie.
Yeah, I'm it's not just sure like, either. He did have some fucking slutty whores throughout the entire movie, though, and I kind of appreciate that, because most of them were, well, we'll get into it here in a minute. I mean, I don't know what order you want to do these reviews in.
I don't. It don't matter.
It's been a little while since I've seen all these movies, really. So, yeah, I mean, the ones that we're reviewing that were requested from patrons... One Cut of the Dead is a Japanese movie that was requested from Let's Talk Resident Evil, who we actually talked with on the last month's horror roundtable thing that we did. And then Carter Kardashian is the one that likes to fuck with us, so that's why he picked he's the one that picked The Fanatic, and I think last month it was, he didn't fuck with us too bad. It was Hereditary, and it was a different kind of fucking with you. But he's really fucking with us with Veronica. So he was the one that picked that. And I guess our pick was one that I got
for some reason, I got on a roll and just started watching a shit ton of Vinegar Syndrome slasher movies.
Yeah.
And this was the one that kind of started that. And it, you mentioned, he's like, you got to watch this. And it was the Berserker movie, the slasher from the 80s.
I don't know. Every time I ever hear that name of that movie, like when we're talking about it, the thing that immediately goes through my head, I know you probably don't remember this, but there's that part in Clerks where that guy sings that song, Berserker. Do you want to suck my cock or something like that?
Well, my thing, I always just think of the wrestler Berserker. Husk!
Yeah.
That's what I think of.
But, yeah, you had to watch that movie, man, because, like, there's so much going on in that that's insane or unsane, however you want to look at it, that it's definitely worth watching at least once.
So, I guess, let's start with One Cut of the Dead, because that one's kind of an interesting one to talk about. I'd never heard of the film before. And I got to admit, I'm not big into the J-horror stuff. We kind of got burnt out on that years and years ago. And oddly enough, I was at the Ashland Goodwill, and they had a shit ton of those Tartan Asia Extreme DVDs.
I'd say there's a lot of places that have a shit ton of those.
What was funny is honestly, I think we were sent each one of those because I remembered them. I can't remember the name of them now. I think there was one that was just called The Maid or something like that.
Yeah, there was.
But anyway, like we kind of got burnt out on that little subgenre of films back probably over 10 years ago, I would say. So, but it's kind of interesting that this one is from 2019, directed by Shinorichi Yuida Miyagi.
Coward.
So, from what I had read about the movie, had a very, very, very low budget, like $25,000 or something like
that. Yeah, I think you can pretty much tell that.
Crazy low budget.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, it made, the story is it made $25 million since its release. So it's on Shudder. I think there's a Blu-ray of it out. Not 100% certain on it. But this movie is almost like, I don't want to say it's an anthology, but it's really in three different parts. That's what I remember a lot about One Cut of the Dead. And we can go ahead and get into it. I mean, the first, what would it be, 25, 30 minutes of the movie?
Yeah.
Is, you know, pretty much just like a short zombie film. There's a crew that are filming a zombie movie, and then they actually encounter real zombies, right?
Yeah, so well, it's kind of
fast paced.
There's been a couple movies like this that have done similar kind of things where, like, you have a movie going on, and the premise of the movie starts to, like, take place in real life. So they're making, like, are they making a zombie movie? They're making a slasher movie? They're making a horror movie. I know that. And then, like, all of a sudden, shit starts to, like, actually, like, zombies start to actually show up and, like, attack the people on the set of the movie. And that's the beginning, like, probably 30 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, and it's almost like, I mean, there's I think the first 30 minutes of it is pretty much almost like a found footage style.
Too. Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't notice this, but I thought about it later. I was like, okay, it's called One Cut of the Dead. Was that opening scene in One Cut?
That's what I thought, yeah.
And because I was thinking that after I watched it, and it was. They evidently, like, I don't know how many days they tried to get this perfect, but the first 37 minutes is what it says on here was shot nonstop from one, no stops, no extra takes or anything.
And you can tell it too, because like it's almost like a play, the way that it, like everything has to be perfect, and you can see when they're like walking outside and the camera's still staying with them, but then like people behind them are kind of like switching around, and then you know people come in from certain angles, and it has to be perfectly timed with when somebody else is coming back inside, and you can tell like if you watch it the way that it's set up. And it's pretty cool to, it's like watching the Goldberg variation or something, like in motion, like all those pieces have to fit together. I thought that was probably then, like, the most entertaining part of the whole thing was the fact that it was done in one cut.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of remarkable. But the weird thing was I didn't really even think about it when I was watching it the first time. But then after I watched the movie, I was like, okay, it was called One Cut of the Dead. I wonder if they did shoot that all, and they shot it all in one take. So, but yeah, I mean, going in, I watched this movie on Shudder. I knew it was like 90 minutes long. And I'm like, what the hell's going on here? Because like, how in the hell... You know, when you watch the first 20 minutes of it, you're like, how in the hell is this going to continue on for like another hour and 10 minutes? But what they do is the second half, where the second of the three parts is that from the director's perspective, they have an idea, and this is for a TV show. They're like, well, let's have like a live zombie movie on TV. These producers give him the idea, and you know, the 30 minutes or so of that part is him getting the cast together and kind of explaining what they're going to do and shit like that, which I didn't really, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, because I'm not sure what the point of that whole thing was exactly, other than to like I know the plot of the movie is supposed to be, okay, these zombies attack this movie, and then the guy decides, you know, fuck it. Like, he's lost his mind, and he's going to make sure that, you know, even though he knows it's real, he's going to continue on with his show. And, you know, just for the ratings and the reality TV factor of it. But that whole section of the movie is really, like, really drags everything down. Like, really slows the pace of the movie down and everything, too. I guess they needed an act there, because if not, then this is kind of like, it's kind of like a splatter farm or something like that. Like, there'd be no real point in it other than just that, just to show like the carnage and see if you can do things in one cut like that. But they had to put some sort of plot into it, and that happens to be that part two,
right? So the third part, which, I mean, throughout the movie, too, I guess it's, for if you're a Japanese person, it's witty dialogue and it's funny. But I don't get Japanese humor either. It's supposed to be comedic, and honestly, I didn't laugh at anything in it. Like, I don't know if it's just culture, you know, differences there or what. But, like, it's goofy. I mean, Japanese people, are they in for the goofy, you know, Three Stooges humor all the time or what?
Well, that's the thing that I've kind of noticed too, is like Japanese humor is way too like on the nose. Like, they just, everything is big and slapstick and cornball and goofy. And like, it's not really the kind of humor that I like. I guess in some ways it is, like if it's done okay, but their stuff is just like, you know, it's way too over the top. Like, a little bit of subtlety in humor goes a long way. But in a horror film, that usually kind of works. Because, like, if you look at Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2, like, that's way over the top. And the humor and everything's way over the top. But it's a completely different style of movie, too. Like, I don't know how to explain what this movie looks like, but it does look very cheap. Like, I will say that. Like, the budget
was $25,000.
Yeah.
That's just a little bit more than the budget from End of the Pit. So think about that.
That's true. Oh, man.
They couldn't afford Phil Roberts to do the poster art.
Yeah.
They didn't have any money left for Filthy Phil.
You remember that? There's that whole big thing where he fucking, like he was holding the poster. How long did that shit go on, by the way? Like, we were getting continuous updates about him holding poster hostage for like probably 6 months.
Yeah, we would get sent these sample like art and they're like, don't show this to anybody. He could sue the shit out of us for using this. I'm like, okay, whatever.
But that was the... Yeah. All right.
That was the big money maker or the money taker for their budget was Filthy Phil Roberts doing that poster art.
Yes, indeed.
But it looked cool. So, third part, though, is from the filmmaker's perspective. It's the same exact movie. They're making the movie, but it's from another angle. And I mean, technically, I guess if you go back and I guess the gimmick for this is it kind of makes you want to go back and rewatch it and see how they did everything. So yeah, I mean, it's in three parts, and then they're, like I said, it's from the cameraman director's perspective, what's going on. I think the story was one of the, there's a zombie in it. A guy played the zombie. They were doing some goofy shit with him where he was supposedly really drunk or something like that. And they were barely getting him out to play the zombie and get it. And then there wasn't he the one that shit on himself or something like that?
I think so. Like, yeah.
Yeah, like shortly after he, at the end of the scene, he shits on himself. So,
I mean, there's some films like Halloween, for example, where people will always go back and look at like the first shots of that film to see, you know, where the cut is and how he did like a lot of that in one take and things like that. So I guess there's some novelty in that, in this case, like to go back and look at it from a filmmaker's perspective and look at it from like the take perspective and everything. But I don't know if I would say that this is a good movie, though. Like, if you just took it as a movie rather than all the gimmicks that are attached to it, I don't think it's a good movie. I think it's just kind of just an ordinary kind of low-budget zombie movie.
It's a gimmick is what it is. Now, I mean, it's, like I said, a gimmick, but they're creative. I mean, it was a creative idea to do this and probably very difficult to do this. I couldn't imagine making a 37-minute movie without any cuts. I'm sure that's almost a nightmare. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't a great movie. I'll never watch it again. But I mean, it was cool to see it, to see what... Evidently, this was sort of a big deal when it originally came out. Everybody was hyping this movie up. And honestly, though, when he mentioned that, I was like, what in the hell is that? I've never heard of that. So I would have never watched it otherwise. So, I mean, it's pretty cool to at least see it that one time.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the one thing. Like, I don't watch a lot of Asian films anymore. But every now and then, somebody will bring up something that's actually worth watching. Like, Train to Busan and The Host and different stuff like that, where Korean and Japanese made films that are really, really good. I think that you're like, the thing about this movie is it was, from a technical perspective, a really cool gimmick and an idea. From an entertainment perspective, though, which to me is the most important thing, it's just not an entertaining movie. I don't know what else to say, really, other than just, I've seen a million films similar to that premise without those particular gimmicks, but they just don't ever do anything for me. I mean, I like Splatter Farm, which is, I don't know why, but that's what it reminded me of. Like, the quality and the look reminded me of Splatter Farm, which is an old Camp Motion Pictures release.
Yeah, the Polonia Brothers.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Or maybe like, it's not even really as quality as like the Dead Next Door. I don't know.
It's, yeah, I mean, you can clearly tell. I mean, it's not a high budget film. I actually think a lot of the actors in the movie, not only did they not get paid, they actually were producers in the movie as well. They paid to be in the movie. So, I mean, that'll tell you how low of a budget it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, hell, you can't deny the success. It made, what was it, like 10 times what the budget cost or more? Or what would be? No, it'd be even more than that. 25,000 times.
I'm not good at math. I was told that there wouldn't be any math. Yeah. So 10 times would have been 250,000. If it had made 10 times.
20 times.
20 times?
No.
No, it's. I think it's 100 times, man.
100 times.
Because think about it. Okay, 10 times would be $250,000. And then 20 times would be $500,000. So it's got to be like, it's got to have made like 100 times the budget.
Times 100. No. So 100 times the budget is $2,500,000.
Oh my God. So it actually made like.
Let's see. 500 times?
It made a lot. Does it fucking. Hold on, I'm gonna work this. I'm gonna work some long division real quick. I'll be right with you.
Okay. Okay. I can't even add it up with a calculator.
I'm gonna carry a one. I carried a five.
It made a lot more money than they put into it. Hopefully, they paid some in people.
It sure did. It made them a profit.
We're from Kentucky. We shouldn't be expected to do.
We should never ever try to do math.
Calculus.
No.
No. Thankfully, I've got a calculator, so I don't need to know math, at least most of the time. So, yeah, that's Shudder original. It's on Shudder. Actually, both of these movies that were requested is on Shudder. I watched both of them on there.
Did you finally fucking get Shudder? You didn't have it before.
Well, a good friend of mine hooked me up with Shudder.
Oh, I see.
So... And the new Creepshow series is actually starting next month, the season two. So that'd be cool. Looking forward to
that. Yeah, that's one of my favorite series that's come out in a while. I always think that they've got cool stuff, like Shudder's got cool stuff on there. Like sometimes you have to look for it, but and they add some really cool older stuff too. Like they added Don't Look Now, which is that creepy ass midget film. I don't know if you remember that. Mm-hmm. We watched it once, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, but it's one of those movies that, you know, it's kind of a blur. Speaking of which, before we get into the other movie, there was one that I got in the Kino sale that was like that, and I was thinking, I think this is the fucking movie. Because I read the plot to it, I was like, okay, it sounds kind of like it. And I probably won't do a review or anything for it, just because, I mean, fuck, whatever. Do you remember, I don't remember if you watched this with me or not, because it was a public domain movie for a long time, and then Kino got it and did some pretty good remaster work on it. It is Savage Weekend.
I got that too. I don't, the Kino sale. I didn't think I ever watched it, but I bought that too.
Okay, so have you? You've not watched it yet, though.
No, I haven't even got that in yet. I haven't got the order in yet.
So, yeah, this is one that, because the only thing I really remember about it, it's kind of slow. It was very 80s slasher-esque, and it had a really soft, dreamlike like picture, kind of like Prom Night did throughout most of Prom Night. And I remembered one particular death scene in it that involved like a circular saw at the end of it. That's the only thing I really remembered. And then this was it. And interestingly enough, and you'll want to check this out too, because this was filmed in 76, which was before Friday the 13th by like, what, 3 or 4 years when they were at least filming it. There is a shit ton of scenes, like cinematography style, that look, because it's set in like a, not really like a summer camp, but on a lake. and the boats and just the way that the, you just have to see it, because it's one of those movies. I think it was filmed 76, didn't come out until 1980. It's not the best movie. It's not like great or anything, but it's interesting to watch because of the time frame it was made. It's almost like a mix between Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Friday the 13th. Because there's chainsaw scene in it, too.
I don't remember it. Like, if I've seen it, I do not remember anything about it.
I think somebody had sent me a DVR or something of it back in the day, and I watched it. Because I kept thinking it was something weekend. I did remember that. I was thinking, was it Nightmare Weekend? You know, there's all kinds of different weekend horror movies. Weekend at Bernie's, but, you know.
But
that was a good one, though. I watched it.
For those people that are curious, we got some good pickup, like Blu-rays from that sale. And I'm always looking out for, like, older 80s slashers, even like 90s slashers that I don't know about. That's what makes Vinegar Syndrome so great. But also, like, sometimes you can get shit from, like, some of those other companies, like Severin and Kino Lorber and all those.
Yeah, Kino sales, man, are freaking awesome, because the Blu-rays, most of them were just $10.
Yeah, I mean, when they have a sale, they fucking have a sale. Like, sometimes, like, some of those companies, you'll go on there and it'll be like, we're having this huge sale, and it's like, it went from $27 to $23.
It's like, oh, right, yeah, shit. Scream Factory, by the way. God. Yeah. So they did. They announced a couple of other limited 1,000.
Buddy, movies. Let me just say this. All right, I'm just gonna say what everybody else is thinking. Fuck Scream Factory. I'm so tired of hearing about that fucking bullshit. And that company sucked ass for as long as I can remember. Anyway, they've always fucking had like a stick up their ass. They're in the horror genre. And they got to stick up their ass about people doing like comedy skits and things like that about their shit.
Yeah.
Fuck them. Plus, they rip people off all the time. They don't send them the right shit.
Right.
And then they don't do anything about it.
So I don't get the big thing that I don't get. And we need to like get Felcher back on the show and just bombard him with this shit and make him say something bad about Scream Factory. Because if you've got a title that's limited to 1,000 copies.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and you think people really do want it, you're going to limit it to one per person, not five per person. They are marketing this shit to two types of people, okay? Scalpers, which everybody knows, that's who bought the majority of the ones that they did last go around. And the other one would be people that love buying limited shit, and you know that there's a bunch of those. Like, oh, this copyright is limited to 1,000. I got one.
I've always, honest to God, like, I've always tried to keep, like, one thought in my head as I was buying stuff like that, which is, especially now, like, I probably didn't do this as much back then when we were doing the show, but especially now, which is, am I ever going to watch this? Like, is this something that I can actually envision myself sitting down and watching? And those last two releases that they had that were 1,000, whatever, I'd never watch either one of them fucking things. Like, I know better. Like, and neither would anybody else that bought them. The only
fucking reason, especially the two newer ones. God bless. Those are fucking like some sort of Dungeons and Dragons double feature bullshit. And I don't even remember what the other one is.
So now, you know, they'll probably do that because that did well and made them some money. They'll probably do that every fucking month.
I wouldn't be against them doing shit like that. It's the fact that they do limited five per person. Why would one person need five copies? What other reason would there be aside from scalping them on eBay? And I've been a scalper before. I have. But, it's for shit that I thought people would want, not just for the sake of fucking scalping it. Because there was only 1,000 of them made, and it's some shitty fucking Roger Corman movie.
True. I tell you why I really hate Scream Factory, though, is because they are like a business that is disguised as trying to be like an art or like a collector thing. To where I think that Vinegar Syndrome is exactly the opposite. Like, they were just doing like what they wanted to do and putting out shit that they never thought anybody would see, and it turned into a business. Where I think Scream Factory's always been like just fucking money hungry pricks.
And they're getting, like, they've got competition now, and they're getting their ass kicked, too, so.
They should, because they fucking suck.
I really love it.
Yeah. So. By the way.
Yeah.
Never forget what the old saying is about us. Like, we don't burn bridges. We fucking just destroy them.
We blow them up.
That's right. So, fuck you.
Well, that's the thing, like, after the whole Nightbreed thing, I was... There's nothing. I mean, the fact that we gave them the Chuck Cellier interview, they don't give a fuck.
No.
They still don't like us, so fuck them.
Yeah. Right
in the butt. So. That brings us to Carter Denchin's movie, which, did you end up watching all of it? Or I know that you probably had to watch it in like 18 different parts.
Are you talking about Veronica?
Veronica.
Yes, I watched it, but I did have to watch it in like 18 different viewings.
Yeah, so...
I can't wait to talk about it, though, because it's a... I don't even know, honest to God, like, where to begin with this movie. Just because it's not really a movie. It's a movie in and of the sense that it has people in front of a camera, but it's not a movie in and of the sense that it has a plot or comprehensible characters or any kind of like competence in directing. And I really mean that too. Like, I don't mean like, you know, oh, it's just you. Here and there, it's like a corny cornball. I mean, it's clear to me that Danzig had, or whoever really directed this, I'm assuming it's him because it's that fucking bad, had no earthly idea how to do basic things like cuts. Did you notice that in this movie? Like,
yeah.
I mean, what you...
Yeah, and... I don't know how we're going to really talk. I mean, most of these movies, there's not really... I mean, there is something that kind of happens in it, but it just continues to happen, and there's nothing that really is resolved, and it keeps happening over and over again. Like, so, it yeah, really I, is... It's like a softcore porn without the porn in it. It's like the in-between scene. Like, it's just set pieces for... stupid, like, shit to happen.
So, there's one kind of narrative thread that holds this whole thing together. And that is, what is it? The Countess? Or the, is it the Countess?
I think Marilla, she's like a horror host.
Yeah. And she is kind of like all the way through this movie, because it's actually a series of, it's almost like an anthology, it's a series of a couple different scenes, really, more so than anything else, more so than stories. And she's kind of a host for all of this, along with her fucking albino spider CGI.
She's a porn star too. Caden Cross
all,
is her name.
I think they're mostly all porn stars.
Marilla. I think they are. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, she's taking you through this, this is the best part right here, in my opinion. So, she's taking you through this, and it doesn't make any sense, so I can't really narratively explain it to you, but, like, some blood that gets spilled on a spider that's an albino spider that's the worst CGI, like, Windows Movie Maker shit you've ever seen, sprouts forth what looks like Goro's retarded brother, who's like, seriously, like this four-armed, pasty white, you know, God of War looking dude. And
it would be maybe a decent costume for a convention.
Yes.
That's about as good as it looks.
Yes. And he's also a big part through this, which I God knows why. But, and then from there, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, there's a lot of German heavy metal music in this too. Isn't it set in like France or something like that? But it's German heavy metal music.
Yeah, here's the best part. Because I actually did some research into this and watched some interviews that Danzig did about it. It is in like a couple different languages, and French being like one of the primary ones. He's claiming that they hired like a dialect coach that worked with them for like hours, like 50 hours, 100 hours or something like that. If that's true, then either these are the dumbest people in history or that dialect coach wasn't legit, because it's just, they should have just watched like, I don't know, fucking, you know, a Gerard Depardieu movie or something and just gone about it like that, because it's the same accent.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's porn stars throughout. There's something about that Spider-Man wanting to fuck one of them in the ass on it. Or whatever their name is. There's prostitutes. There's, this ain't the one, the strip club, is it?
There's a strip club in it, yeah.
Lots of whorish looking women. The first one is the albino spider of DeJet was the name of it, Bulls. Try saying that 10 times fast.
No, I don't ever want to say it again. I don't ever want to think about it.
So, like, throughout the entire anthology, which I was kind of, like, interested in seeing this just because it's an anthology, and fucking Glenn Danzig somehow is directing it.
It's not really an anthology, though. Like, it's just, if an anthology is just a bunch of random ass scenes put together, then it's an anthology. But,
well, I know, but like, it's, if you read the description and basically, yeah, I mean, and Glenn Danzig, so what this was evidently is he had like a comic book or something that was Verotica.
Yeah.
And this is how this movie came to be, evidently.
Because after you see it, you will need to know, like, how this came to be. You'll be so perplexed by this fucking movie that you'll really need to do, like, research about it.
It's like, I don't even know how to quickly describe what type of movie this is, because there's not very many. The best way to describe it is it's the in-between sex scenes and porn. And it's a horror-themed version of that, because it is filmed like them fucking porn movies.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. Like, it looks like that shit.
Well, here's the biggest problem with the movie is that, honestly, the biggest problem is not the acting, although it's horrible. The biggest problem is Danzig has no fucking idea what he's doing. Like, I don't know if you noticed this, but there would be scenes where they would, like, the camera would linger on people for like 30 seconds to a minute after their dialogue was over, and you could just absolutely tell that they had no idea what to do, and he just kept filming. So it's like, you know, they would deliver some line and then they'd just be like,
the next chapter, and there's a couple things to talk about in this one, man. Like, well, let's see. The first one, we didn't talk about her titties, did we?
No.
Okay. So.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. How did I fucking forget that? Ugh. Yeah.
Dude, like, I'm not shitting you. I don't think I could do much better as far as making a film goes. But I guarantee you, if you give me about 4 or 5 packs of Silly Putty and a glass eye, I could have made that shit look better than they did.
So.
I couldn't fucking believe that. That looks so freaking bad.
It did. And not only did it look bad, but it's just a bad fucking idea anyway.
Yeah.
Like, so the idea is, okay, so in the very first whatever story that they've got with the albino spider and all that, this chick is getting ready to have sex with this guy, and she keeps acting like she's embarrassed about something. You don't know what it is. And so you fast forward a couple minutes and she takes her top off. And she has eyeballs for nipples. which
yeah.
look
which are
ridiculous.
It does.
It's it's a ridiculous fucking idea, number one. It looks ridiculous. Everything about it is just, that's the best way I can describe this movie. It's just fucking ridiculous. Like, everything about it
yep.
is just silly yep. and no, uninspired. No. Yeah.
So, yeah, the next one's Change of Face. And, of course, Mirella, the fucking Caden Cross, the porn star, introduces these, much like, I guess, it's kind of like Elvira, maybe, is what they're going for there. Like yeah. a very, very, you know, poor Elvira. Change of Face. The story of this is the one in the strip club. There's like a mystery stripper in it, and this is again shitty makeup effects. This is the whole plot of this little mini movie. She is going around slicing the faces off of other like porn stars or strippers or whatever and taking their face. And then there's the Sean Cannon, who was in Karate Kid 3. I don't know if you put two and two together there.
I didn't until you just said that.
Let me tell you something. That guy was the worst actor in the whole fucking movie. And that guy's been in like, he has been in a couple of mainstream movies.
He's been in legit
unbelievably, unbelievably bad. Like, I don't know if he just knew it was so bad that he was just trying to act badly or what, but I'm willing to bet that if he can't do any better than that, they will not be getting him in the fourth season of Cobra Kai.
Just that might be why they haven't got him. Like, they might just be like, oh, fuck. He's going to mess it all up.
Because yeah, it was, I couldn't believe it. I really, like,
dude, I think,
like, he had acted for a long time in, like, soap operas and shit, I think.
Is that the one, too? There's a scene in one of these. I don't know if it's that one or the last one, where she walks into, like, a coffee shop after going to see a movie. And this is how bad this movie is, by the way. And if you don't believe me, go back and watch. Just look for this scene. She walks into a coffee shop. She's in a movie first, and then she just leaves, goes over to a coffee shop. She sits down and doesn't say anything. And she's just kind of sitting there. The waiter comes up and he's like, would you like me to refill your coffee? And she's like, no, I'm going to leave. they never showed her drinking the fucking coffee or anything in there, and just left that scene in there.
So yeah, I don't know who did the makeup effects for this movie, but like, there are plenty of scenes where they clearly just put like, it was like thin, like latex that's like on a glove or something. And they had cut out like the shape of somebody's face and used that over and over again, that same little gag.
Let me ask you a question, seriously. Do you think this is like planned? Like, nobody would set out to make a movie this fucking bad, would they? Like, and then just without there being some type
I'm not sure. Maybe he was going for like, I don't want to say it's Grindhouse. I don't know exactly what it is. I mean, okay, if you're into very, like, porno, slutty-looking women, gigantic tits, and you're into horror, but, I mean, you don't want anything, you know, as far as well-written, well-acted, or anything, it's, like I said, it's the best way to describe it is it's like a porno, the acting parts of a porno, with horror in it, with, like, blood and a little bit of really, really, really bad makeup effects.
Truth. Yeah.
And we're not done. There's another one. It was called Contessa. What the fuck was the name of it? I can't even find it on here.
That's what I was thinking was Countess. Yeah.
Yeah, the Contessa Contaudus, Countess of Blood or something like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a take on, and Carolyn Williams was in this part. There's X-Pac was in this too.
I forgot about X-Pac. He was.
I kind of marked out when I saw X-Pac.
Yeah.
Like he was one of the bouncers or something for the strip club, I think.
This whole movie has X-Pac heat, though. I just want it to go away.
But yeah, the next one, Contessa of Blood, Drukesia or some bullshit. Where did he come up with this fucking shit? None of the stuff you can pronounce. Anyway.
Oh, it really
so
is.
Her whole deal is.
Yeah.
She I think it's a takeoff of, what is that story? The Countess Bathory or something like that from back in the day.
Yeah.
That bathed in blood and drank the blood of virgins and all that to remain immortal. So this is kind of like a porn version of that.
Oh, shit.
Much porn in it. So like Carolyn Williams sells her daughter to the Countess. And then pretty much the entire thing is like slowly drawn out of, you know, Drukesia or whatever the hell her name is, draining the blood from this girl and sucking it dry and bathing in it. And you can see her titties with blood on them.
Suck it dry. Come on.
That was like the gist of it, really. It's basically a softcore porno in that regard.
Yeah, it is.
There's a bunch of naked women in it.
There's a ton of that.
Not much else story to it that I could really think of that I wrote down here.
There's
thank God I took notes on this fucking thing.
There's nothing that holds it together in any way is like a, except for the horror hostess. But other than that, like it's just a bunch of random bullshit. Bunch of random scenes out of his mind. It kind of reminds me of like why it's not a good idea to have vanity projects like Spinal Tap, you know, like with if you have an idea for all that stuff, like it'll probably not translate well to film. And in this case, like it really, really didn't. And he was way in over his head, like about knowing how to do anything related to a movie.
Yeah,
I mean Danzig really just kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, but he's making more movies. He has got a like a what was it called? The Death Rider in the House of Vampires. It's a it's like a Western vampire movie, and I think that one is that one's got some people that people may know in it. Devin Sawa's in it as the Death Rider.
Oh,
Julian Sands is in it.
Warlock.
Kim Director from Blair Witch 2 is in. I haven't seen her in anything in forever.
I haven't either.
And Glenn Danzig is actually acting in it too. So,
look, man, yeah,
there's a trailer of that out actually.
Like, I'm not joking when I say that. If you compare him to like somebody else that's a musician, like. That's done film, like horror films, like let's say Rob Zombie. He makes fucking Rob Zombie look like Stanley Kubrick. He really does. Like, he makes him look like a fucking genius. Even in like 31 or what was the other one? Three from Hell. It makes Three from Hell looks like Apocalypse Now compared to this fucking movie.
It really does.
I'm telling you.
It might not be as bad if he lets somebody else actually. Like, who wrote this script for this?
Was there a script?
I don't know. Like,
there's scenes in this too where there's like, you can see boom mics. You can see like the lights, like the box lights that light up the scene. Like, there's all kinds of shit. Like, you know.
He's the writer and director. I just looked it up.
Yeah. I mean, he would be. That son of a bitch.
So,
that explains everything. And I'm going to make some shitty movies.
The entire script for the whole movie right there.
Yeah. If he wrote a script.
Especially that last one, there was nothing to that. It was just, Danzig's like, okay, we're going to have blood all over your boobies right here. and then we're going to show you like drinking blood, and then you're going to play with your boobies a little bit more.
Boobies.
And then we're going to show blood trailing down your ass crack. That'll be nice. Do that. And then bring these other four porn stars and have them dance around naked, showing their big fake titties.
It's funny because whenever I think about
it, I love it.
If I think about Danzig's voice, like what he would sound like, it was kind of be like Sonny Landham.
Hey.
Mama, just stand over here.
Here's what we're going to do. Lynn, he probably did this too, and somebody said, you can't do that. He's like, okay. I want the countess to spread her legs and start rubbing on her clit.
You know he did. He's like, we're going to
pour
have
some
angels.
Blood.
There's going to be an angel scene in this. I'm going to tell you, Mama. Like, and then, like, no, you're going to get an ex. Nobody's going to watch your shit anyway.
Oh, God. But, yeah, that's Veronica. Man, I don't know.
I wouldn't even know. Actually, I do kind of recommend anybody watches this, just if you want to see something that's hilariously bad, where you can actually pick out, like, you know, stuff that's not supposed to be in the movie being in the movie, and like, you know, almost like The Room or something like that. Like, it's that bad. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, that was an experience. And I was like watching, I was kind of watching the movie and looking over my back a little bit too, because like I said, I watched it at work and it was basically a porno.
Yeah, like everything about that movie, the CG, the acting, the directing, the dialogue, the plot, it's fucking, everything about it's horrible. Like, they didn't leave one stone unturned where they were like, you know, we should do one good thing in this movie. No.
Yeah, there was, I mean, the only good thing about it, like I said, if you like big, fake, tittied porn stars, there's tons of that in it. I mean, ain't no doubt. That's very noticeable from the first story in it. You're like, oh, there's fucking titties everywhere in this.
Yeah.
So,
if you like that, then fucking Synapse and Vinegar Syndrome's got fucking 400 titles that sell you. It's like every,
yeah, Synapse has got the Nikakatsu collection, volume 1 through 97, Nikakatsu sex tapes, and 42nd Street Forever XXX edition.
So buy that shit.
Yeah, it's Veronica. I think there is a Blu-ray of it that recently just came out, actually, and it's on. It's on Shudder, so you might want to watch it first on Shudder, and then decide if you want to, you know, pay anything for it.
Nobody likes this movie, like on its own merits. It's got to be just like you're either watching it as a joke, or you're like the biggest Danzig mark of all time, because nobody could possibly like this movie. There's no way.
Yeah, so that is Veronica, Glenn Danzig. I think Steve actually loved this movie, by the way, the funny thing. He was saying he wished that Danzig started making movies back in the 90s so he'd have like a ton of shit like this to watch.
What? I'll never understand this kind of shit either. It's like, dude, I don't go to fucking shitty B-horror films to watch porn. Like, I do not understand this concept. Like, you know, if you want to watch, like, softcore porn, just buy some softcore porn. Like, nobody wants to, you don't need Danzig. You know, you don't need a gimmick for that kind of shit. This is just a horrible fucking movie. And it is incompetent on every level. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not the best. I'll say
send me a screen, Danzig. I'll fucking
say it. It was at least like, it's like a train wreck, though. I mean, I kind of wanted to see, okay, Glenn Danzig made a freaking movie. That's just weird, like, to me. He's like an old fucking, how old is he? He's got to be at least, what, 60?
I would think he's close to 60, yeah. Because, I mean, hell, the Misfits were around in, like, 80, 81.
Yeah. Anyway, that's Veronica. That's out. If you want to check it out,
by all means, seriously, though. Yeah, if you want to check it out, check it out. But it's like, if you check it out as being like a fluke kind of corny, fun movie to watch, don't think it's like going to be a good standalone film, because it's not.
So, the last one up that we're doing for is kind of our pick. This is kind of a fun thing to do, each one of these shows. Uncle Bill is the one that recommended this one. And Vinegar Syndrome is the one that's got this out. Now, this is one of many 80s slasher movies that they've got out that I've never seen. And that one, this one we're taking a look at is Berserker.
Berserker.
The Nordic Curse.
Would you like to have some rock? Berserker. Do you want to suck my cock?
Husk! So.
So, yeah. I'm dying for you to explain the plot to this fucking movie.
Remember this movie back in the day? I think that I had maybe heard of it when we were in the early days of doing the Dead Pit show. I had heard people mention the name.
I'm not even going to lie. I've never heard anything about this movie until Vinegar Syndrome.
But yeah, I mean, I didn't know what it was. And that tells you how many slasher style movies there were in the 80s. Jefferson Richard was the guy that directed this. 1987, Berserker, the Nordic Curse is actually what it was called. And I guess shortened to Berserker for like home video or whatever. So the movie begins in, like, I think it said the 10th century. And it shows like a lot of, you know, Viking shots and bear shots and a lot of shit. Looks like it was filmed up Sugarloaf Branch in Eastern Kentucky.
It does. It really does look like it's filmed around here somewhere.
And it's like a very brief kind of, like, they didn't really say what was going on in it. I mean, you don't really, they just kind of briefly, I guess, wanted to invoke this is something involving a fucking Viking. There's something related to that. And then you fast forward, although that was only probably, what, 3 minutes? There's 3 minutes of the movie. It's not a very long movie. And then a group of kids from the city decide to go camping or whatever, and it's just a regular old 80s slasher movie from that point. Now, there's some interesting things throughout the movie that make it a little bit different. One of your favorite aspects is one of the best character actors of all time is in this. John Carpenter used him a lot, I think.
Yeah.
He was in a ton of shit. George Buck Flower, and this is one of his starring roles. Well, the closest thing I've ever seen him into a starring role.
It's really bizarre, too, because, like you said, like, he never really gets these kind of, like, I wouldn't say he's the lead, but he's, like, a pivotal character in the movie. And he's definitely got more screen time than he ever had in, like, They Live or any of the other movies. Like, I think he was in, like, Terminator. Or he was in one of those movies like that. But in this one, and this is the part that killed me about this movie, is because this guy, if you know his real speaking voice, it's almost like a Texas, Georgia-ish kind of speaking voice. But they've got him as being like a Norwegian, I'm not even sure, he's like a caretaker of this property or something. And
yep. Pappy.
Pappy, yeah, he's Norwegian. And he's the one
Pappy Nyquist.
What the fuck?
We're going to call him Pappy Nyquist.
He's the one that kind of gives you the exposition, the setup of like what the whole backstory is about the Vikings and all this and that. And then that's important, I guess, to the rest of the movie. But just watching him like talking a Norwegian accent was just, I was fucking dying laughing. I don't know why, but it was just one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Well, he's missing his, like, trademark beard in this, too. Like, he shaves his beard down to, like, a little goatee or something like that. So I'm not sure exactly what the accent was, but he's like there's some Ouija. throughout most of this music, the movie, there's some pretty awesome like fog hat style classic rock playing throughout it. We need the Berserker vinyl soundtrack. Maybe Waxwork Records will work on that as well. But there's also like a scene in this movie too. It's very much like Mad Men in a way, where they're all around a campfire and, you know, they tell the legend of the Berserker and
yeah,
the Nordic curse, if you will. And they, you know, so the killer through the movie, you're thinking most of the time it's a bear. I mean, that's what I thought, because it's just like a generic shot of like a bear claw swiping at somebody. And, you know, I mean, just very basic, not really that creative death sequences in this movie.
No, I was kind of amused by the way that they had. And I was, you know, as I was watching the movie, I was thinking, are they really going to have like the whole premise of this movie be that these kids think that there's like this, you know, Viking curse, but it just turns out to be a fucking grizzly bear just going around like killing all these people, which it's a very ambiguous ending to the movie.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the fuck that was.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could be.
There's one thing in here that probably broke a record for a slasher movie, though. There's a sex scene in it where this woman has the smallest set of titties that I've ever seen in a horror movie. She's the chest of an 8-year-old little boy is what she had. I'm surprised that anybody would. I mean, that is just weird. You know, I've seen many different kinds of titties in horror movies. I've seen big old fat titties. I've seen old woman titties. But man, that's just a disgrace. If you don't have any more than that. I have a beginning of that Thanksgiving movie we watched not too long ago. Has some old stripper in the beginning of it. Where you're like, God damn, man, she's got to be 60 years old.
Well, that Midsummer had fucking old granny titties in it all over the place. I was
old
like,
saggy granny titties, yeah.
God. Stop that shit.
But
here's the thing. This movie, despite its many whatever flaws, actually has a really good atmosphere, I thought. Like,
it does, yeah.
It has the same type of campfire atmosphere as like a Mad Men, and it's paced very similar to Mad Men too. I don't know if that was intentional. I highly doubt it, but like it's set up almost the same way, and you get the same kind of feeling from it as you do from a lot of those backwoodsy kind of slasher films. But it's just it's got a crazy element to it, which is like Norwegians, like Vikings.
Yeah, and then like towards, you know, most of the movie you're thinking it's just the bear, it's killing people, but no. There's a fucking berserker in it as well, towards the end of it. So there's like a fight scene with the bear and the berserker. They're not even on both the same team. They're, you know. And I think one of the guys starts cheering on the bear, right? That's kind of weird.
Yeah, the whole ending of the movie is.
Yeah, the ending of the movie is very weird. But I'll tell you, this movie was entertaining as hell. I really enjoyed this movie even more. Like, I'd seen people post. I remember that Vinegar Syndrome collectors forum or whatever, that this was the worst release that Vinegar Syndrome ever did. And I'm like, no fucking way. This
Who
is
the
like,
fuck said that?
I saw a couple people say that. They thought Berserker was the worst movie that they'd had. And I'm like, you're freaking insane, because if you're a fan of slasher movies, this is freaking great. Like, I've seen all kinds of slasher movies. I've seen probably 50 or more that was way worse than this.
Yeah, man, there's no way that's even like in the top 10 of their worst releases. Some of the shit they come out with, they put out fucking Hobgoblins. Goddamn.
Yeah. Cutting Class, I know they've got that one out, and I've seen that. That's a piece of shit.
That's like one of the worst slasher films you'll ever see, too.
But, yeah, I mean, there's like kind of a little twist ending at the end of it. I guess we won't give it away, but you're like, how does that make sense at all? What the fuck is that? But
it's Berserker.
It's fun. I really wish that they would have, instead of just simply calling it Berserker, kept the Nordic Curse subtitle. I think that that's pretty cool. But
the Nordic Wind.
Yeah. It's Berserker from Larry Jefferson, whatever the fuck his name is.
Jefferson, you liked it, though.
Richard. I really did. I loved it, and I wanted some more of it. I thought it was too short, to be honest with you. Well, it's 85 minutes, so.
It's just the perfect type of movie for somebody that, like, you know, that enjoys those kind of, like, backwoods campfire kind of slasher films. It's fucking silly. It's cheesy. It's a slasher. And it has, like, a unique kind of twist and plot to it. So, there's, you know, you're going to, if you like those kind of movies, you're going to enjoy this movie. And to be honest with you, there might be only, like, one or two that I can, like, Vinegar Syndrome titles I can think of off the top of my head that I've bought where I've been like, there's, this is just bullshit. There's nothing redeemable about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're usually a company that delivers the fucking goods in one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, though, most of the ones that I've watched, which we'll talk about it. Fuck it. I probably won't review them. I watched the Pledge Night, which you've seen. Now, that one's not the greatest, but it's fun enough. It's just kind of weird. Like, it's almost like a mix of, like, Animal House and almost like a Charles Band movie or something.
Now, there's two that I always get confused. I was telling you this. And I don't know, like, I think it's Pledge Night and New Year's Evil. Which one is the one where the dude dies but comes back to life and ends up killing everybody? That's like the premise of the movie. Was that Pledge Night?
Pledge Night was the one where half of the movie is like, it's like almost like Animal House or something where it's set in a college.
Right, okay.
And it's like a comedy or whatever. Most of the first half of it is. And then, like, it's just, I don't know, it's really wacky. There's like, it's almost like a Evil Dead 2 or something in the second half. I can't remember if the I can't remember exactly who the killer is. Not the best. I actually like Berserker way more than Pledge Night. But I really did enjoy, you need to check Silent Madness out. Like, I really, really liked it a lot. And Silent I didn't watch Madness. It in 3D. Like, there's that one screenshot that I showed you. That should make you want to watch it, you know.
That's true.
Did I send that to you? Yeah, I think I sent that.
Yeah, you did. I'm thinking, though, like, I've got a shit ton of stuff in there that I need to watch from Vinegar Syndrome, actually. And the last one that I think I watched altogether was the Uninvited, which was well worth watching that. Man, that's another one you need to just fucking get and just watch it. Like, honestly, though, don't even worry about buying it. Just, like, go on YouTube and look up, like, the last 10 minutes. Because the rest of the movie kind of sucks. But the last 10 minutes are, like, just, you won't even believe it. It's that amazing.
Well, they've got a big sale coming up in, well, they're doing the, what is it, the pre-sale or something like that next week.
Oh, yeah. So you have to, halfway to Black Friday or something like that.
Yeah. You'll have to get in on that. Well, I think they're announcing some stuff, so.
Oh, shit.
But, yeah. So, I guess that is it for our patron reviews for this month. We're a little bit late, but it's all good. I don't even know what we're reviewing next month. They haven't said yet, so we'll find that out. But we did add two more spots on there, which I don't know if we've really said anything about it. So the Baller and Shot Caller tier, we've got two spots open since we only had two to begin with. We think that we could review more movies. So I don't know if we can or not, but we'll find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got that on there if anybody wants to partake. Dead Pit on Patreon.com. Check that shit out. Anything else you wanted to mention real quick on here? Or what you got going on, Uncle Bill?
No, I mean, I was just thinking about the, like, what about the Landis thing, if you'd ever thought any more about that, or...
I'm down for that. I think that's a great idea for a series of shows. I mean, not saying we have to do three or four in a row, but like the sequelitis thing, like we do every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a couple.
What would we call that exactly? I'm curious.
We have to come up with it. We'll have to figure it out, because the whole concept is maybe to do a deep dive on a particular event or something, and maybe also review the movie around it, which in John Landis's case would be Twilight Zone, the movie, which I haven't seen that in many years, actually. It's another anthology film.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of the tragedy that happened in that, I think that'd be a really interesting live stream to do. So hopefully, maybe that'll be the next thing that we do, if we can get our shit together. And I think I've got that on Vudu, actually. I don't have it on Blu-ray. But, yeah, I think it'd be a really cool idea.
Yeah, I'd just like to take a look at it, you know, from the perspective of him and how it affected his career and everything that happened with the trial and all that. There was a trial about all that shit, and it went on for years, by the way. And actually, like, he came pretty close to going to prison, but did not.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also some funny shit about that, too, I'd like to talk about as well. About, like, him kind of... There's a rumor, or it might be even more than a rumor now at this point, that he kind of bribed a lot of the people in the jury, either intentionally or unintentionally, to kind of help him get off of that charge. But we'll talk about that if we ever do the... There's some great stories around that whole thing, though. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that'd be an interesting... And there's footage of the actual thing, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So...
That'd be a lot of rumor and innuendo in that episode.
Yeah, a lot of opinionation, if you will. I don't even know if that's a fucking word. But
we'll
it's
get
like
sued by somebody from fucking Disney again. God. Yeah.
So that is it. I hope everybody on Patreon enjoyed. And if you're not a member, you're not even fucking watching this. So fuck you.
We don't care about you or nobody you know.
I wanted to mention too, real quick. They ain't gonna see this. There ain't no fucking point in mentioning. I was gonna thank the guys that Jay the Stingray was on. And Garrett was the one that sent me the link on this, doing a live stream with Christian Hannah, who does like a lot of shit on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they were really putting us over on the live stream. And honest to God, I was thinking that they were going to shit on us or something, because the name of the live stream was something Into the Dead Pit. And I'm like, what in the fuck? What?
Yeah, I saw it too. And I was like,
yeah, they were going to pull a Gut Munchers or something like that. And I'm like, oh. But no, they actually put us over. So that was pretty cool. I appreciate those boys for doing that. I was young. Well, Jay's about the same age as us. I think Christian is like a kid. I think he's in his 20s. So
he's really good, though, at doing the interviews. I was noticing that. I was like, this motherfucker is like, really professional, and like he really wants to dig in to like whatever the subject that he's talking about too. Like you can kind of tell if somebody's half-assed doing an interview, but this guy's like, he's all over it.
He's like a deep diver. He's like the horror version of Dr. Phil or something. He's just,
yeah, he's the fucking Charlie Rose of
it's like
B-movie exploitation.
He gets right up to the mic. So we'll get to that here in just a second, but I want
to I swear to God he does.
The 90s, you know, tell me about the Blockbuster video and all, you know. He's very calm and
yeah.
I can't do it. I gotta be a little bit bombastic, baby. But
yeah,
I'm gonna hook you up with one of these, Uncle Bill. Dead Pit stickers.
Holy shit.
We have never gotten them. I just got it today. It's like a free sample.
That's awesome.
Actually, yeah. stickermule.com.
So. I tell you one thing, though, that I did gather from that interview as well, though, is that everybody has their own John Carpenter interview or, like, John Carpenter meeting experience. Because, like, he was talking about meeting John Carpenter, and it was like, so how did that go? And he was like, well, I told him that I couldn't wait to see the ward, and he looked at me like I was fucking stupid. Yeah, that sounds about like every meeting I've ever heard anybody have with John Carpenter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I like right. the fog. Fuck you.
Good. Get the fuck out of here.
Good. Give me money.
You owe me $70 for signing my fucking name. Now shut up. I can't wait to go back to the hotel room and play my Xbox. I want you to shut your mouth. Use my fucking coupon code to save 10% on them Turtle Beach headphones. Otherwise, fuck you.
Oh, God. I'm going to go smoke some weed and play some video games. Fuck you to hell.
Fucking playing some Call of Duty with some kids and cussing them out on there. You imagine John Carpenter. John Carpenter playing like fucking Call of Duty and actually being on the headset cussing out little kids.
I just
like,
really
I fucking killed you, you little bitch.
I really want to have like one more chance just to ask him, why are you so angry? Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, there's got to be some shit. Who touched you? Tell me. Like, something happened.
He's angry so much. When we interviewed him, man, he was freaking killer. Like, I don't know. That was just so weird.
And him and Savini. And then you, like, they were both amazing. And then you go and meet him, and they're like, get out of my fucking face. That bullshit.
Savini's like,
I'm surprised. I think this would be so killer. He should do it. Just kind of goes along with his gimmick. But like he brings something up for John Carpenter to sign, he just rips it and fuck that shit, throws it back at you.
I fucking hate the war. And I hate you. That's like the closest thing that we had when we interviewed John Carpenter, that is when we tried talking to him about Christine. You could tell he was not a fan of that movie. Like, I don't give a shit about that.
I got money. I made money off of it.
They paid me. I want money so I can buy me some games. I was playing Sega Genesis back then, motherfucker.
Won't you do me a... Won't you do me a favor and go fuck your questions? Fuck about the ass.
God, you boys don't sound like you ain't never been to the city before. That'd be killer if he'd said that.
Who was it that did say that? It was Lou.
Yeah, Lou Perryman.
Lou Perryman, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he said, you boys sound like you ain't never been to town before.
That's something coming from him, too, because he sounds like he's got him hiccup.
Yeah, he was a shit kicker for sure. Old Lou was, but.
Anyway, that's good to reminisce about John Carpenter there for a minute.
Yeah, I'm fucking crying over here thinking about it. I don't know.
Oh, it's just, it's heartwarming.
All right. Well, that is it. You can check us out. You get information on everything over at deadpits.com.
And there's deadpit on patreon.com. Well, I ain't thought of nothing catchy on Patreon.
That's real easy to remember.
Yeah.
Deadpit on patreon.com. Let's see here. I'm going to end it.